This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next-door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
This time on a Saturday, often I do what's called my op-ed. And today I'm doing the same again in a little bit of a different format. I wanted to give people a heads up. I'm going to talk about historical child sexual abuse and my experience with it. And the reason is, so if that unsettles you, concerns you, is going to upset you, don't feel compelled to listen, please. And at the end of this, Joe will touch on the resources that are available to you if you feel you need to speak about this and engage on it. So today is a bit of a series of anniversaries for me. 5 years ago, I went to a solicitor to bring a case against the school I was sexually abused at as a teenager more than 40 years prior. 4 years ago, my child sexual abuse complaint was settled. 3 years ago, I spoke to the entire school staff about my abuse. I then started working with the school to establish a robust and caring set of policies to deal with historical child sexual abuse. 2 years ago, Trinity Grammar in Kew, which is the school I was abused at, formally launched its program to the school community to embrace the changes and the policies that were being put in place. And the school also removed all reference to the previous headmaster on its school buildings and resources. So what I want to read to you today, 3 years ago when I spoke to the entire school staff, the gardening staff, the cleaning staff, the research staff, the teachers, the admin, everyone from the principal down. So I said, I want to start off by stating that what happened to me a long way in the past, I know how difficult this has been for me, but equally I know that for each of you this has also been very difficult. Some of you were not even born in the early to mid-1970s. You are not responsible for what happened to me. The chair of the school council and the headmaster have taken a big risk in allowing me to speak to you all today. They haven't censored me. Nothing is forbidden. I thank them for their courage. This is probably the most difficult thing I've ever had to do in my life. I never ever thought I'll be back at Trinity, ever. But I'm here because I want to be here and because you asked me. In the event that I offend you, it's not because I want to offend you. Today may be traumatising for some of you. This may have a significant impact for some of you, and if you don't feel comfortable to stay, then I respect that. I'm sure many of you are feeling uncomfortable. You're not sure just what I'm going to say. There'll be lots of feet shuffling, lots of averted gazes. But as I said, if this is uncomfortable for you, I ask you to spare a thought for me and for all the other boys who have been abused in this school and for those boys who tragically didn't survive the abuse. I left Trinity Grammar 44 years ago. Until this year, I never ever thought I'd be back. I'm back here because after I came forward about my sexual abuse by Christopher Howe, and that was settled, the headmaster and the chair of the school council both generously reached out and engaged genuinely with me. I believe they were concerned when they reached out to me. They asked for my insight to help them to do their very best to ensure that what happened to me and others and the way the school responded is never ever repeated. And they want me to be involved in the school's ongoing response, and I will be. My memories of this place have haunted me for all those 44 years. Today I want to share with you a little of what it feels like to have been sexually abused. It's soul-destroying and destructive of trust. It never goes away. The abuse of trust is real and ever-present. It doesn't leave you. And I want to share with you what a heavy burden that is to carry both as a child and as an adult, and how hard it is to be able to trust again. It's a tough gig. As a victim, you ask yourself, what have I done to deserve this? Why have I been singled out? Why do I feel guilty and ashamed, and can I speak up? The people who do this to us want us to feel ashamed. They want us to feel guilty. That helps them get away with it. But I'm not a victim, I'm a survivor. What happened to me happened to many, many boys. Most don't speak up as they know they won't be believed. Or they feel guilty or ashamed. The abusers count on all of our silence. The abusers are smart. They know who's vulnerable. They know who will be too scared to say anything. And they know that in almost every case they won't be found out. They methodically plan how they'll carry out their abuse. They rely on our silence and on people looking the other way. Our silence and people looking the other way helps them to continue their evil, and many boys and later men from this school couldn't cope with the abuse and its ongoing impact. Some tragically didn't survive as they struggled with the abuse, and they sought to escape by taking their lives. I don't know how many teachers committed these heinous crimes, but from the moment I came to the school, and I'm sure before I came to the school, there were teachers who remember were our surrogate parents while we were in their care, who took advantage of the sacred trust placed in them by our parents, by society, by the church, and by the school. And they did that to prey on boys. They abused this trust to sexually abuse boys and to carry out this evil without fear, as the system and the culture looked the other way. The simple fact is that this school has been a sanctuary for the evil work of some teachers for decades past. Why has it been a sanctuary? If I may borrow and modify a quote, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men and women to do nothing." And good men and women did nothing. They looked away. They heard what the kids and what other teachers were saying. They heard the whispers. You know, two senior staff brought a teacher back to the school from the Kew police station after he'd been arrested for sexually assaulting a boy at a tram shelter. That teacher went back to his geography classroom and continued on to abuse many, many more boys over many years, and no one said anything. Did they restrict his ability to access boys? No. Did they ensure he was never alone with boys? No, they didn't. That teacher, Gordon McGuinness, who's now dead, was free to continue his abuse. The leaders of the school refused to believe that men such as Chris Howe, Gordon McGuinness, Mark Watson, Les Wiggins and many others were sexual predators, but these predators had help. Instead of taking action in the 1970s when I and my parents complained face-to-face about being sexually abused to the boarding house senior master, Les Wiggins, who was later himself convicted of sexual abuse, he told my parents it was nonsense and a lie. Trinity headmaster at the time, John Leppett, when my parents and I also told him my abuse, backed Les Wiggins in that stance, telling them and me, "You need to discipline your child and you need to consider whether or not to keep him in this school." Just think about that. Two leaders of the school chose to dismiss out of hand a complaint about sexual abuse without investigation. They chose to protect the reputation of the school, the reputation of the teacher. No concern for me, none whatsoever. Do you understand how it feels to muster the courage to stand up and report being abused and to not be believed? It's devastating, and you never ever forget it. Chris Howe was an evil, systematic, accomplished and clever child sex abuser, and he got away with it for decades. Because people like John Leppett and others refused to believe that he was a predator, and they wouldn't even investigate the complaint. Those people, their actions are just as disgusting as Chris Howe and just as evil. I remember the headmaster's words to this day. He cared more about Chris Howe and the school's reputation than he cared about me. He's a disgrace. Chris Howe wouldn't face his accusers and be held to account for his evil. As a result, Myself and many others have been denied the justice of seeing him answer for what he did. All those years he was a teacher, and the headmaster's distorted loyalty allowed him to operate freely as a child sex abuser, as some of you look the other way. There are none so blind as those who will not see. When my father confronted Hal in the corridor, just close to here, I had to stop my father from killing him. The senior teacher at the school came out in the aftermath of that confrontation when Chris Howell was bleeding from a broken nose and other injuries. Wasn't reported. I could talk about the good works of this school, and there are many, but that's not my job. That's the job of all of you, as you now have to think about the crimes that have been committed inside these walls. Are you going to look the other way? In every single building of this school, sexual abuse was committed. School camps, music rooms, biology labs, gymnasium, all the different halls, the boarding houses, the music rooms. No place was safe. And where there had been a response, it was so feeble, so mealy-mouthed to be nothing at all. Trinity has taken decades to take action on the teachers, assistant chaplains, tutors, boarding house masters who abused the young boys in this school. The school leaders saw nothing, heard nothing, and did nothing until now. So now it's time for you all to step up and make a stand. How many of the boys of the school faced the horror of being sexually abused in Trinity's history and moved into adulthood with this nightmare still clouding their lives? How could the people responsible, you, for children's care and education live with themselves? And how could they, those who follow their faith, also look away? To them I say, I hear your outrage, denial, your anger. I read your defence of the school. You're very loud, and I know you believe in your outrage, your anger, and your defence of and commitment to your school. But denial is easy. Actions are not. And your school has not taken the actions needed to stop the evil of child abuse until now. But your students, colleagues in your school need your help and your commitment to make sure this evil stops. If you don't act, why don't you act? Is it you don't care? What does it take for you to care? Is it more important that the welfare of the kids doesn't matter compared to what else? What if it was your daughter, your son, your grandchild, your niece, your nephew, your brother, or your friends that were abused? I don't need you to think of me. Think of the boys currently in your charge. Think about the perpetrators who have and will abuse your trust, the trust of the kids, the parents, and your colleagues. And shouldn't it be that good fights evil, that good recognises, identifies, and fights evil? That's what I was taught by this institution that allowed that trusted teacher to abuse me. Trinity was a sanctuary for evil. Yes, a sanctuary, but not in the way that people of faith know. A sanctuary where child sex abusers felt safe. And it's time for all of you today who are given that sacred trust to protect children in this very place where kids come to learn, to trust, to respect and practice their faith. For once and for all, stand up for all that is good and make a stand against evil. Don't surrender your faith and your sacred trust to evil. It is up to you. Today is about the future, and I'm proud to be on this journey with Trinity. In life, we so rarely get the opportunity to do the right thing. It's time for you all to seize that opportunity, and I know you will. Thank you.
I just want to let people know that they can, if this has brought up anything for you, you can contact QLife on 1800 184 527 or the Rainbow Door, 1800 729 367. And I want to thank, on behalf of all the listeners and people at Joy and our community, thank Macca for his courage in being an advocate in this issue. As he said in his own speech, we have to break the silence about child sexual abuse. If you don't speak up, it will continue. And for someone like Macca and what he has gone through, the courage to, as he said in his own words, it never goes away. we can't take back what happened to him, but he has had the courage and conviction to work towards it not happening to other kids in the future. And as I agree with Macca, he is not a victim, he is a survivor. And that's a message I also send to all survivors. Well, there must be no more silence. And we here at Joy 94.9, we believe survivors, and we need to have these conversations to ensure that this doesn't happen again. But of course it is happening. And Macca, I just want to ask you the questions about what is Trinity, a school like Trinity, doing to work towards combating it?
They asked me to speak to their staff. They'd reached out prior to that, and there'd been a change in the school council and some of the senior staff. They wanted me to be involved, and I was, you know, a little bit reluctant, but I thought, you know, if I don't, nothing is going to change. They'll make some changes, but it needs to actually... Any time you want to fix something that's not working, the people that are involved in that need to be a part of it. So I joined a committee of the school council, and I've continued to work on that. The school has changed its policies completely. The school has spoken up about its past. It has encouraged the students, you know, to speak up when something goes wrong. It's encouraged staff members to speak up when they see something happening, not to look the other way. One of the most painful things is a couple of years ago during this process, a guy that I was in the boarding house with, and his name's John, he and I were great friends in the boarding house, same age. We were great friends for decades after. We then just grew apart, not for any reason, we just grew apart. Mm. When he heard me talking about this, and I actually spoke on Neil Mitchell's show about it for half an hour at the time, he then came forward.
That's right, that's right.
Many others have come forward because of me and others speaking up. John and I didn't talk about what happened to us until a couple of years ago.
Mm.
We were the best of friends. We kept it from each other.
Mm.
And the school has done some fabulous work. They really have. You know, they're working currently on a memorial to survivors and those who didn't survive. But, you know, you've got to keep at it. And the most important thing, you know, for me, I'm not going to call this a positive experience, but it's a rebuilding experience. And the importance of speaking out. Anyone that has children, they know how this hurts. But just imagine, you know, and Paul, who's been part of this journey at Joy, the number of times we would get messages when we spoke about this from people that had experienced it. We don't realise how widespread this is, how devastating it is, what it does to lives. And, you know, for it to stop, all people need to do is speak up and share their story with someone. It may not be down the legal route. It may not be down the redress route. But you need seriously to tell someone, because it won't get better until you share those experiences, as painful as they are. It's still painful for me. But I never, ever, for a moment, doubt that I didn't do the right thing.
As you said, that shame and guilt that is on you, which is misplaced. That's inherent to the abuse, that you are blamed for it. You know, like you feel like it was your fault, or you're bringing the school into disrepute, the things you said. And we've got to change that narrative as a group, that is not what it is.
And it's not just, Joe, it's not just about child abuse, right? It is about anything that we as individuals, when we're treated badly, we need to do something about it. We need to speak up. We need to share our pain, and we need to address the problem, because if we don't, it just continues. And, you know, there's a message here from a listener. Thank you, Macca. Another survivor from Trinity redressed in 2021. And, you know, another question, why did I speak on Neil Mitchell rather than the ABC? Well, I did actually speak on the ABC. But Neil Mitchell supported me through all of this right from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got the record for the person speaking longest on his show. It was 24 minutes without an ad break. Can you believe that? Mm-hmm. Even I could talk for 24 minutes. So the area you work in, Joe, this is why I want to do this today. I wanted people to understand that there are resources there, there is help there, there is people you can talk to. How you progress it, that's up to you. But I encourage you, I implore you, I'm not going to beg you. Speak up, tell someone. If you don't, it actually doesn't get better. I'm sorry to say that to you. You've got to speak up and seek assistance. There is so much assistance out there. If I didn't have it, if I didn't have the support that I had from my friends, you know, from medical practitioners, from counsellors, from my lawyer, from my employer, from Joy, I wouldn't have been able to do it. So please speak up and stand up for yourself, and the more we do this, the less it will happen.
That's right. And for those who are listening, as you know, I'm the CEO of Switchboard Victoria, and we run 2 7-day-a-week helplines, and we talk to survivors regularly, and we welcome the conversation from survivors. Unfortunately, there's far too many in our community. And we encourage you, if you are a survivor listening today and you need to talk to someone, you can talk to us. The Rainbow Door is open now on 1-800-729-367, and QLife opens up from 3 p.m. on 1-800-184-527. And again, thank you, Macca, for your courage, for your continued advocacy in this space. Already today, you are making change. We can see people writing in. No more silence, and we believe survivors.
And that's important. My parents believed me. Switchboard and QLife and others, they're there to help you. They believe you. They will listen to you. They will act. They'll give you assistance, whatever they can. You've just got to make that first little step. I know it's hard. I know it's tough. But trust me, it makes a difference to your life, and it makes your life just that little bit better and that little bit easier, and you understand things better. So thank you. We'll just, let's just touch briefly on a couple of the messages we've had. Look, lots of questions. You know, I just want to encourage people to understand the importance of speaking out. Okay, it's not easy. It does make it better. And the support that we have in our community, in the LGBTQI community, and this problem is not isolated to us. We have incredible support in Switchboard and QLife and, you know, other organisations. They're there for a reason. They're there to help us. They're there to support us. Please use them. Some of the messages are really, really encouraging. But, you know, it's up to each of us to actually make a difference in this space.
I agree. And I think that it's really, I really want to say this to survivors who are listening, is that unfortunately, I want to go back to your message, Macca. What you said is that this issue doesn't go away, and it's something that you live with. And I think that's really important for us to hear from survivors, as people who haven't experienced abuse, understand that it's something that you live with and you carry it with you and you feel it on these
There's
days.
There's no like antibiotic for it.
No, and I think that some and therefore we can be allies to survivors, and that's really important, is to sit with people.
Yeah.
Here, there's, someone was asking, what can we do? One thing is we can believe survivors. We can elevate their voices.
Yeah.
We can make them part of the change, like the way you're on Trinity, you know, you're on an advisory group, the way you're making that change. That's really important. We need to hear the stories of survivors and not question their experiences and take away from what they went through or said, oh, that happened so long ago, you were just a child.
Yeah.
Actually, you live with that. It's made you who you are, and you are an incredible person and an incredible advocate, but you should never have to go through that. And I think that's my message to allies today listening, is how we can support and stand with survivors. And that I say to survivors that there might be people in your life who are bad allies to you, who want to say things like it happened so long ago. And I want to say that those people, you know, they don't know what they're talking about, basically. And that hear what me and Macca are saying today. We believe you. We know it's something that you live with. And we encourage you to find the help that you need and not to be alone. Because if you hear those negative voices of people saying to you, this should be over, you should stop talking about it, you should be silent, that's the kind of stuff that eats away at you. And what builds you up is coming into community with other survivors and talking to people who understand what you've gone through and want to sit with you and be an ally to you.
You're not alone. You're absolutely not alone. I stand with you. Many others stand with you. Remember that. You're not alone. There's enormous amount of support and help and advice you can get. You're not alone.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.